Our Your Vote 2018 candidate interviews continue. This week and next, we're focusing on the upcoming election. We've invited every Maine candidate running for governor, the U.S. House, and U.S. Senate to join us. Today, we'll talk with Will Hoare, who is running as an independent for Congress in the 2nd District. And after that, Marty Grohman, who is an independent candidate for Congress in the 1st District. Maine Calling is next.
You make Your Vote 2018 programming possible, as do AARP Maine, advocating on the issues that matter to Mainers over 50 and their families, and reminding you to be the difference this November and vote. Lambert Coffin, advocating for individuals and businesses in Maine trial courts and administrative agencies, online at lambertcoffin.com. And MEMIC, celebrating 25 years of working with employers and employees to reduce workplace injuries, on the web at MEMIC.com.
From the Maine Public Radio Studios, I'm Jennifer Rooks, and this is a special Your Vote 2018 Maine Calling. My guest this half hour is Will Hoare, independent candidate for Maine's 2nd Congressional District. What questions do you have for him? Our phone number, 1-800-399-3566. You can send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, or post to the Maine Calling Facebook page. Welcome, Will, to Maine Calling.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure. It's a pleasure to be here.
Will Hoare, why are you running?
I think what's going on in Washington right now with the Kavanaugh hearing is a perfect example of part of my motivation. This divisiveness and zero-sum game that has taken hold of both parties is threatening to rip apart the fabric of our democracy. That has become kind of my MO. My initial reason for running was our current representatives vote against the Affordable Care Act.
What's the biggest issue facing the constituents of your district, and how will you address it if elected?
I think the two biggest issues, I'm putting them into one, is the opioid epidemic and healthcare. As the oldest population, we have a number of people that we're going to need to be taken care of. And the opioid epidemic is currently killing at least one person a day. And that is unexcusable. Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
So it would involve working with both sides of the aisle. And, you know, the Affordable Care Act as it is not enough. It was a great start. But we need to do more to help the people of Maine.
Well, a related question then. Do you believe that access to affordable health care needs to be a national priority? And if so, what can Congress do to ensure it? What should Congress do?
It most certainly is a national priority. You know, we are founded on the principle of, you know, American citizenship comes with the promise of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And without being able to have access to health care or afford health care, you can't enjoy any of those. And what was the second part of your question?
What should Congress do to ensure it?
Well, they can start by working together.
A follow-up question to what you've been hinting at all along, Will. What do you believe needs to be done about the partisan divide in our nation?
Well, I seem to be going against the trend, which seems to be increasing tribalism and increasingly harsh partisanship. But we need to find a way to work together. There is no winning if it's this constant back and forth between two opposing ideologies. It's not governance when you're spending all your time trying to undo what has been done by the opposing party. So it's coming together and remembering that you were elected to find solutions for your constituents, the people that you're representing, and legislation should be passed.
Will, if you're elected, what committee would you like to serve on and why?
I'd like to serve on Ways and Means and or Agriculture because those are directly relate to Maine and Mainers and our economy. And I want to be able to have influence in the policies and legislation that are going to make the lives of Mainers in the 2nd Congressional District better.
We're speaking with 2nd District Congressional candidate, Independent Will Hoare. Will, we have been collecting questions for the candidates on voicemail. We're going to play one of those now.
Hello, my name is Anne, and I live in Saco. And my question is, given that there's obviously a long game being played by the opponents of Roe v. Wade, what is your specific stand on reproductive rights and on Planned Parenthood? Thank you.
Thank you for your question. I am a supporter of Planned Parenthood. I don't believe that anybody has the right to legislate the being, the actual corporal personhood of another person. And, you know, especially as Congress is composed of mostly older white men who have no idea what it's like to be a woman, just like me. I think it's incredible. It's ridiculous that they're trying to repeal something that is part of our law.
We'll go to
and take us back to. Sorry,
I'm sorry. Finish your thought.
No, it's just it's crazy that there's a contingency that wants to go back in time.
We have an email from Ken. Do you support elevating Katahdin Woods and Waters from National Monument to National Park?
I do. I think by converting it to a national park, it will add even more legitimacy and solidity, and it will attract more tourism to the area, and it will be properly protected.
We'll go to another voicemail question.
Holly from Vassalboro. The U.S. incarceration system is unfair, unjust, and expensive. Congress can change this system of mass incarceration by passing the Bipartisan Sentencing Reform and Corrections Act. My question is, will you support legislation such as this Sentencing Reform and Correction Act to reduce mandatory minimum sentences, give judge more discretion, and to lower the federal prison population?
Yes, I do firmly believe in this and support reform for incarceration, especially with relation to drug sentencing and Yes.
We'll go to an email from Karen. What are his policy solutions for the problems posed by climate change and the role of CO2 emissions in it? Do you have a plan to reduce these emissions?
I think it's going to be a multi-pronged approach, but I think the first thing that has to be done before we can start actually legislating is we have to get people on board with this, that it's climate change. You know, the Defense Department has been planning accordingly for climate change. They've been buying property for the past 3 decades in preparation. So we need to get the rest of the country to get on board with the fact that science has proven that climate change is a real thing, and we have to take measures to keep it in check and to keep the world going for our kids.
What measures do you support, and what can Congress do?
We need to, I mean, there's lots of different things. If we decrease bovine waste, that would be a huge boon to, it would decrease gases. We need to, I think getting rid of all of the legislation that was protecting and putting limits on emissions, we need to reinstate those and keep those firm.
You're listening to a special Your Vote 2018 Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks. My guest this half hour is independent candidate for Maine's 2nd Congressional District, Will Hoare. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can give us a call, 1-800-399-3566. We'll go to another voicemail question.
My name is Tara. I'm calling from Cumberland. I have a question about education. We know that access to affordable child care challenge for working parents, and research shows that quality child care benefits children throughout their lives. What would you do to provide access to more high-quality early care and education?
I support any legislation that would come forward that would provide early access, because research has shown that beyond just difficult for working parents, it makes a direct influence on children's learning level. And those who go into education earlier are ahead on the learning curve. So I support any measure that's put forward for that.
An email from Alan. Given that twice in the last 20 years, the person that became president was not the person with the most votes, do you think it's time to amend the Constitution to get rid of the Electoral College?
I go back and forth on this, but it right now I think we should. I think our democracy is in a very precarious situation. At least until and if things settle down, then potentially we could talk about that. But I think we need to keep our processes as they are for right now.
And from Amber, what is your view on legal protections of transgender people against discrimination? And what's your take on so-called bathroom bills?
I think any form of gender discrimination is unacceptable. And bathroom bills, I think there should be a separate bathroom that would have an alternative, to be an alternative option for transgender.
An email from SD. Please ask the candidate his stance and plan of action for making drug costs free or very low for the elderly nationwide. How will they bring big pharma under control? Do they acknowledge the necessity? And where do they stand on elders purchasing life-saving medication at low cost through Canada?
This isn't just a problem for aging populations. My wife has a chronic illness, and just one of her medications costs $800 a month. This is a huge problem, and a lot of it comes again back to government oversight. I think we need to reinvigorate antitrust policies. We need to keep an eye and control the power of the pharmaceutical industry. It's too powerful. It has too much lobbying capability. And it's Washington's job. It's the job of Congress to keep an eye on that and to keep that in check.
If you have a question for Will Hoare, 2nd District Congressional candidate, he's an independent, you can send us an email to talk@mainepublic.org or call us 1-800-399-3566. Another question from the voicemail.
Hi there. My name is Jane, and I'm from Orono. And my question is for Will Hoare. And I wanted to know how candidate Hoare is planning to protect Medicare benefits for Maine beneficiaries. Thank you so much for this opportunity.
So both Social Security and both of those programs, right now we need to be investing money in because they're going to run out of funding, I think, at the latest by 2034, but maybe as early as 2027. It has to be a gradual, but we have to find the funding so that we don't bite into that reserve.
An email from Jack. How would you limit and or identify outside money used to fund special individuals? I think he's talking about dark money.
He's talking about dark money, or
I think so. He wrote how
or special education.
That's an email, and he said special individuals. So, why don't?
Well, I think Citizens United has got to go. Money in politics has skewed the power dynamic, and again threatens to take away from the democratic process. So we need to get rid of money for special individuals.
We have an email from John. What specifically, if anything, do you propose that the government do in the years ahead with respect to climate change adaptation and climate change mitigation?
I'm not sure I understand that question. Did you understand that question?
Yeah. I mean, you know, as our climate is changing, I think he's asking, what do we need to be doing? I would guess he's asking if Congress needs to invest more money in.
Well, we need to come up with sustainable practices. Maine is very lucky that we have lobster fishermen, and it's one of the few sustainable, you know, industries, especially in terms of marine, you know, they're the only population that hasn't killed off their means of making their money. We have to adapt and find solutions that decrease the amount of human effect on climate change.
We have an email from Jen. Do you have plans to address the crippling cost of child care for working families? My husband and I both work full-time and together make just above the median income in our area. For one child in care, we spend almost a quarter of our take-home pay. We would love to have a second child, but then would be spending more than $20,000 a year for center-based daycare. As a parent, it's an impossible situation. Much attention is rightly given to help the lowest income residents afford childcare, but what can be done to fix the problem for everyone?
I think giving benefits to companies that help provide space for daycare, and incentivizing the people with the capacity to hire to provide a means of looking after the children is probably the most expedient way to find a solution for that.
An email from Paul. If elected, who would he support for Speaker of the House?
Well, I think it's a little too early to say. We don't know, you know, who everyone is going to be. So I think we have to stay tuned.
I'm interested, listening to you, Will, that many of the positions that you're taking today here on Maine Calling are really in line with what Democratic candidates would say on a similar program. What makes you an independent candidate as opposed to a Democratic candidate?
Well, I was a Democrat before I was an independent, and I became an independent because I don't believe as a representative I don't think being affiliated with a political party gives you the freedom to dedicate all your energy to actually helping the people that you were elected to serve.
Do you have any? Oh, go ahead. Keep going.
And I don't believe in governance by political ideology that's party based. I think, you know, the needs of Maine are what should be deciding my decisions.
How did you determine that a race for Congress would be the race to enter? There are lots of seats on all different levels open this November. Why Congress?
Because no one else did. This was not something that I ran into, you know, skipping. It's the thought of the national attention, the thought of the, you know, all the pressure. I moved up to Maine with my wife for a quieter life. But back in October of last year, I went to hear the Democratic candidates to see if there was one that I could get behind and support. And back then, it came out in this panel that the two front runners, Golden and St. Clair at the time, were already getting talking points from Washington. And that, to me, isn't representative government. And no one else was coming forward. So I threw my hat in.
An email from Jeremy. Is there a politician he looks up to or would model himself after?
Well, I'm an American history major, so there's a ton of people in the past who I look up to. Angus King was one of my motivating factors for running because he is an independent and he has integrity and he works with both sides. Despite her recent or potential decision on Kavanaugh, I have great respect for Susan Collins. Abraham Lincoln is, you know, my hero. And then my great-great-grandfather, great-great-great-whatever, and my ancestor, Roger Sherman, who was a man of the people but helped write the Declaration of Independence and was one of the only founding fathers to sign all the documents.
We'll go to another voicemail question.
This is Jeff from Biddeford. And what are one or two specific measures you would support to ensure the long-term financial solvency of Social Security?
Well, so that goes back to the question that we had just a little bit before. I think we need to find other funding that doesn't eat into the reserves because otherwise they're going to run out and we will be in crisis, especially here in Maine. I don't have any specific measures right now, but that's the whatever solution it is. It's to find another source of revenue to provide so we don't eat into that.
An email from Suzanne. Does the U.S. spend too much, not enough, or just enough on its military?
It's a catch-22. I think I don't want a ballooning, amount of money going into military, but given the current global political climate and the current, belligerent kind of dialogue that's going on between various countries, we have to maintain it, and we are a world power. But I don't agree with spending more.
An email from Sam. What is the biggest international threat facing the U.S.?
Right now, I'd say itself. I'd say we are internally doing so much damage to ourselves. But Russia, I guess, is the biggest threat, and any other country who's infiltrating our election process and trying to undermine the very principles upon which our country was founded on.
We're speaking with 2nd District Congressional Candidate, Independent Will Hoare. Will, I think this is probably our last question. It's an email from Tyler. If elected, would you support the new trade deal just negotiated between the U.S., Mexico, and Canada? If so, why? If not, why not?
I think the bill is fine. I think it almost was more of a rebranding than there aren't that many changes, but yes, from where I my perspective right now, yes, I'm fine with it.
All right. Well, thank you so much. That's Will Hoare, independent candidate for Maine's 2nd Congressional District. John Keimel ran the board today. We had additional help from George Thomas and Rich Tozier in our Bangor studio. You can find all of the Your Vote 2018 interviews, as well as more information on the candidates and their positions on the Maine Public website. Today's program will be rebroadcast this evening at 8. When we come back, independent candidate for Maine's 1st Congressional District, Marty Grohman, joins me. I'm Jennifer Rooks, and you're listening to Maine Calling on Maine Public Radio.
Most Republican voters support Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh despite sexual assault allegations against him. That could make it difficult for red state Democrats up for re-election like West Virginia Senator Joe Manchin.
I'm hoping Mr. Manchin will vote for Kavanaugh because we are a conservative state even if we do put liberals in there.
The View from West Virginia this afternoon on All Things Considered from NPR News.
All Things Considered from 4 to 6:30 each weekday evening. Are you interested in traveling to Sicily? Maine Public Travel is headed to Sicily next May on another of our cultural explorations to explore this fascinating island. You're invited to join Morning Edition host Erwin Gratz and other friends of Maine Public. Our Many Flavors of Sicily 10-day tour will involve sightseeing, tours, lectures, and music that will offer insight and understanding of Sicily and its people. Learn more about Maine Public's Sicily tour by visiting our website, mainepublic.org. Thanks.
On the next Fresh Air, the crisis at Facebook and the scrutiny it faces as the midterms approach. We talk with Evan Osnos, a staff writer at The New Yorker, about Facebook's recent massive data breach and about its role in disseminating disinformation. Osnos' latest article is titled, "Can Mark Zuckerberg Fix Facebook Before It Breaks Democracy?" Join us.
Join us for Fresh Air this evening at 7 o'clock. And later today on All Things Considered here on Maine Public Radio, we'll continue the series reported by Fred Bever on the future of seafood farming in Maine, aquaculture's next wave, a look at the state's growing oyster farming industry and how some oyster growers are trying to protect the harvest against climate change. That's later today on All Things Considered, and anytime it's convenient for you at mainepublic.org. Looking at the weather, showers by afternoon from Bangor North. It'll become partly sunny in the south with a slight chance of afternoon showers. Warmer with highs in the low 60s north, around 70 south. Gusty southerly winds. Tonight, some evening showers, then clearing overnight. Temperatures fall back into the low 30s in the far north, around 50 south as winds come around to the north. Friday, sunny or mostly sunny, but cooler. Highs in the low 50s north, around 60 south. You make your Vote 2018 programming possible, as do AARP Maine, advocating on the issues that matter to Mainers over 50 and their families, and reminding you to be the difference this November and vote. Lambert Coffin, advocating for individuals and businesses in Maine trial courts and administrative agencies, online at lambertcoffin.com. And MEMIC, celebrating 25 years of working with employers and employees to reduce workplace injuries, on the web at MEMIC.com.
From the Maine Public Radio studios, I'm Jennifer Rooks, and this is a special Your Vote 2018 Maine Calling. My guest this half hour is Marty Grohman, who's an independent candidate for Maine's first congressional districts. What questions do you have for him? Our phone number is 1-800-399-3566. You can send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org. Tweet at Maine Calling or post to the Maine Calling Facebook page. Marty, welcome back to Maine Calling. Why are you running for Congress?
Hey, just first want to say thanks for having me on. My family were members of Maine Public. My wife and I are actually evergreen friends, so thanks for all you do. Look, Congress right now is at a standstill. I mean, extreme partisan gridlock has just got things at a halt, and Mainers are suffering for it. I mean, Republicans and Democrats are in this sort of professional wrestling match, and in the meantime, nobody's taking on the skyrocketing costs of health care, solving the opioid crisis, or shoring up Social Security or protecting Medicare. I mean, while they throw stones at each other, who's helping small businesses grow and prosper? And I think here's the worst part. I mean, they really seem to want to keep it that way. And I grew up on a farm in western Maine. I'm the youngest of eight kids. I milked the cows before the school bus every day and kind of stuck to my books. I was fortunate enough to get a scholarship to Gould Academy and then go away to engineering school and worked in the plastics industry all over the country. And then came back to Maine to start a business down in Biddeford and had a lot of success doing that. And anything that I did in my life, I didn't make progress by tearing down the other side. I've always had success by getting people working together. And that's just the spirit that I'm not seeing in Washington, D.C. right now. And I think that Mainers really deserve a representative who will work hard for them on a full-time basis and just focus on the issues instead of what the big party political money bosses are looking for. And I know that I can't change it by myself, but I think that one by one, if we send people down to Washington who are more interested in fixing things than fighting with each other, we can change the direction of this country. And that's why I'm running for Congress.
All right. Well, related question, something I'm asking all the congressional candidates is, what needs to be done about the partisan divide in our nation?
You know, I think where we've gotten to right now is such a divisive time. And I do think we need to elect people who will represent the people of Maine first and not a political party. I mean, this is a unique and unusual opportunity that we have in this race. We have ranked choice voting, so nobody has to say, hey, I don't want to vote for you, Marty, as the independent because I really am worried the Republican will win or however you look at that. Instead, we've got this amazing chance to get an independent voice down there representing us who will always have an open door, who will work with anybody just to get things done for the people of Maine. And that's what I'm on my way to do.
Marty Grohman, what's the biggest issue facing the constituents of the 1st District and how will you address it?
You know, I've been working hard, Jennifer, out the door at 5 a.m. to shake hands at Bath Iron Works and putting thousands and thousands of miles on my truck and hearing from people all over Maine. It's been the most rewarding thing I've ever done. Just before coming into the studio here in Portland, I was meeting people up in Monument Square and getting their perspective. And I've got to tell you, people are just so frustrated. I mean, a woman named Ann just said to me, I'm not even going to vote anymore. I'm just so sick of it. this partisan cage match. So I think we've got to break through that before we can start getting things done. I mean, clearly there are issues that we need to take on in healthcare, in the opioid crisis, in many other areas. But we need to focus on where we agree, not where we disagree. And that's what the problem is, as I see it. We cannot move forward until we can find a way to work together.
Should access to affordable health care be a national priority? And if so, what does Congress need to do to ensure it?
You know, in my service in the Maine legislature, I've been a consistent and very forceful advocate for expanded access to health care. And I have to tell you, as a member of the Criminal Justice Committee, one of the things that you do is you tour all of Maine's county jails. It's very affecting. 80% of the people in our jails are there for some offense related to substance use disorder. And if we're going to help them get back on their feet and stop this cycle, they're going to need access to treatment. They're going to need access to health care. So I think it's absolutely critical that we have federal support to take on what is clearly a nationwide problem.
If elected, what committees would you like to serve on and why?
You know, I plan to be on the House Armed Services Committee. I believe that the representative of Maine's 1st Congressional District, it's almost incumbent that we have somebody on that committee, because I will be such a strong advocate for Bath Iron Works and Portsmouth Naval Shipyard and Pratt & Whitney and General Dynamics in Saco. You know, I think if you look at Maine's economy, so much of it is driven by those critical jobs that we have there. More than 11,000 people work between those facilities, and that's a lot of jobs. And let me revise that, not just jobs. These are careers, and they're really, really important. And I think it's absolutely incumbent that the representative of Maine's 1st Congressional District support them 100% all of the time.
We're speaking with Marty Grohman. He's an independent candidate for Congress in Maine's 1st Congressional District. If you'd like to join the conversation, our phone number is 1-800-399-3566, and our email address, talk@mainepublic.org. You can also send us a tweet, or you can post on our Facebook page. We're going to go to a question that came in via voicemail.
Hi, my name is Barbara, and I'm calling from Brooksville. I am wondering what any of the candidates are planning to do to help retain young Mainers to stay in Maine and work, and also what their plans are to help expand internet in small remote areas that really depend on it, that they can't get it because it's so remote, and how they're hoping to do that. Thank you.
Yeah, a great question. Thank you for that. I founded and started a manufacturing company in Maine myself as a way to come back to the state. I faced this problem as a young person wanting to come back to Maine, and I feel it intensely. I think that as we continue to grow Maine jobs in the economy, more and more opportunities arise for our young people. I'm so excited about Maine's entrepreneur and startup scene. I host a podcast for Maine entrepreneurs called The Grow Maine Show, where I celebrate Maine startups and entrepreneurs. My current guest is Chris Claudio from WinXNet. This is a company that has grown to more than 200 people in just 10 or 20 short years. And I think that's absolutely remarkable. And that's what we need to support. And I think down in Congress, Mainers just absolutely deserve a representative who will go to bat for them across a whole variety of issues like this on a full-time basis. I mean, we can't keep doing the same thing over and over and expect to get a different result. We can't end this partisanship that prevents us from getting places by sending more partisans to Congress. We need to send independent voices who will focus on getting results down to Congress.
We'll go to Ben, who's calling from Westbrook. Hi, Ben. Go ahead. You're on Maine Calling with Marty Grohman.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it. I have two quick questions for you, Mr. Grohman. One is, do you believe Dr. Blasey Ford? And the second is, if you were in the Senate, would you vote to confirm Brett Kavanaugh?
You know, this is an intensely divisive time, and I think Having more facts is always better. I don't think we need to rush into this issue, and I think we should make sure that everybody is heard from and help these senators get all of the facts and make the best decision that they possibly can.
Thanks, Ben, for your question. We have Bruce on Facebook asking, do you believe it is important for the state of Maine's economy and citizens to be open to encouraging refugees to come and settle here? Would you support continuing and even increasing the support and services offered to them here?
Yeah, thanks for that question. You know, as I've been traveling around Maine, meeting with people of all political stripes and having such rewarding conversations and getting endorsements from all over across the aisle, I'm talking to business owners, and a consistent thing that they're telling me is that we need to address this issue. I recently met with a commercial roofing company who told me that they could be doing 30% more business if they had the talented staff. So I think that starting with strong, secure borders, we need to value the magnet for talent that America has become and develop a clear legal path to citizenship that will help our growing Maine companies staff up. Otherwise, we'll be missing an economic opportunity. And I think as an independent, I'm just uniquely positioned to be able to take this issue on because I don't come to it with a partisan approach. I'm just purely looking for solutions. I just want to get the work done for the people of Maine. And this is an issue that I'm really committed to taking on.
We'll go to another voicemail question.
This is Harvey calling from Augusta. Since climate change is probably the most important long-term issue in the current human history, do you believe that human activity has a major role in climate change? And what do you think we should do about it to mitigate it?
Yeah, thank you, Harvey. You know, I'm an avid hunter and outdoorsman and a sportsman, grew up on a farm, as I mentioned. And I really have this perspective as somebody who developed a business that is an immense recycler. What we do is take recycled yogurt containers and combine them with recycled sawdust and make this high-end composite decking product. And we are pulling in millions and millions of tons of recycled plastic to produce this high-end product. And it's something that I'm so proud of. And that is the perspective that informs me all the time. I don't think that economics and the environment need to run against each other. In fact, I passionately believe that the two of them need to work together. And I have this experience and these connections. I'm a chemical engineer, and I'm able to bring people together to work on this issue. So what I think we have fallen down on a little bit is where we divide each other on this issue. And instead, it's this great opportunity to come together and look at large commercial solar installations and so forth. You know, why don't we do more of that work by working together? And as an independent, I'm just able to get that kind of work done. You know, again, we can't change Washington. We can't keep doing the same thing over and over and expect to get a different result. We have to send independents down to Congress to get them to get people working together again. And that's what I am going to do.
We have an email from Stacy. I am a third-generation veteran and am often left feeling like veterans' issues are put on the back burner. I've seen some of the work Marty has done for veterans and what he's done around the state and want to know how he would apply this experience in Congress.
Thank you for that question, Stacy. You know, when I was first elected as a state representative in 2014, one of the things that I started doing is going to our local American Legion meetings. And I'm not a veteran myself, but the group over there kind of took me in, and I worked with them intensely over the years and become friends with so many veterans around the state. And it's so rewarding for me, and I'm just so passionate about this issue. And, you know, working with my local Legion post, the first thing that we talked about is they only had a few $100 in the budget, and things were getting kind of close, and the furnace was failing and things like that. And I met with a bunch of Legion leadership all over the state, and one of the things that they suggested was kind of a small thing, but they said, hey, listen, why don't you put an old utility trailer out by the road and collect bottles and cans and see if you can bring in some revenue that way. And I said, geez, you know what? I've got an old utility trailer. So we made some signage. We put it out by the road. And, you know, last month we collected it at my American Legion Post 26 down in Biddeford, $1,200 worth of bottles and cans. People have been so generous, and we've turned this budget around, and the Legion Post, we've been able to buy the new furnace. And so I just keep showing up. I think that's what veterans appreciate. They don't want words. They want action. They want you to just show up. You know, they do. They make fun of me over there. They say I'm the head of the ladies' auxiliary. But I will do whatever they need to help them. And from there, one of the things that I realized is that Vietnam veterans, so many members of my post are Vietnam veterans, and they were really not welcomed when they came home in 1968 or 1972. Instead, they were poorly treated. One veteran who's a friend of mine over there took the bus from Long Beach all the way back to Biddeford in his uniform. No one would even sit next to him. And that's been so moving for me. So one of the things I've been doing is organizing these Vietnam veteran recognition ceremonies all over the state in conjunction with the Maine Bureau of Veteran Services. And I just couldn't be more passionate about this. So I want the veterans of Maine to know that I will always be there for them. I will always show up for them. I won't make a lot of noise about it, but I will do the job and I will get it done.
We have another voicemail question.
This is Betsy from Standish. How do you tell the difference between fake news and real news? And would you please give us one or two of your favorite sources for reliable information? Thank you.
Well, I wondered where Betsy was going with that question right at the beginning. I thought it would be some kind of a... Anyway, let me jump right in. I am, as I mentioned, an evergreen friend of Maine Public. I believe that this is a credible source of information. Look, it's a stressful and divisive time. I think we've gotten to this place where Republicans and Democrats are just trying to tear the other side down and keep the other side from getting a win. And I think that people are checking out on the process because of that. And it's really time that we take a look at this differently. We can't keep sending partisans to Washington if we want to end partisanship. We've got to do something different. We need people in the middle that will work together with both sides and just move the best idea forward and stop with this all of this extreme partisan bickering. It's like professional wrestling at this point. And yeah, it is, you know, I understand the frustration and how that kind of shows up in your news feed. And I think an independent voice is needed to change that.
We'll go to Lou, who's calling from Brunswick. Hi, Lou. Go ahead. You're on Maine Calling. Lou, are you there? Well, then shoot. We'll go to Matt calling from Biddeford. Hi, Matt. Go ahead.
Hey there. I'll start by saying I ran against Marty in 2016, and I learned a ton about respectful leadership from him. I think he'll represent us well. I was going to ask about clean energy, but someone else has since asked. So I'd ask about addiction-related issues, and I know Marty cares about it and would love to hear where he sees opportunity to prioritize there.
Yeah, thank you, Matt. So nice to hear from you. Much love, much respect. Thanks for all you're doing in the world of recovery. You may hear the passion come through my voice here. You know, one of the things that I've been doing and understand as an employer myself is how important good employment is. And as we're working with people in recovery, one of the things that I've been doing is putting together these recovery workforce job fairs. We first did one in Biddeford in June. It was an immense success. We actually have one coming up here in Portland next week, a week from today on October 11th. Love for people to get involved with that. Visit my Facebook page, martygroman.com, to learn more. Because I think, look, one of the pillars of getting back on your feet from the brain disease of substance use disorder is a good job. There's more to it than that. There's no question about it. Housing and health care are absolutely critical. But can we help people get back on their feet with a good job? Can we pair employers who are willing to look past cookie cutter resumes and value the potential of people in recovery? Can we make that connection? And that's what I'm committed to do. And it's been so rewarding to be able to work in this area with these recovery workforce job fairs and just focus on doing the things that we can do by working together.
Thanks so much, Matt. We're going to move along to Tim, who's calling from Lewiston. Hi, Tim. Go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. Mr. Grohman, I just wanted to follow up on a couple of questions that you were asked, and I don't think we ever got a response to whether you actually believe Dr. Ford, and then also whether you believe that human activity significantly contributes to climate change. So I just wanted to get a chance to bring those back to your attention and get something on the record about that.
You know, this I'm not privy to all of the information that has gone on in the hearings. I mean, what I am hearing is intense work being done here. And I think to have these senators be able to get all of the information that they can get is absolutely critical. As I've said, I don't see a need to rush into this. And I think that we need to take our absolute time and make the best decision we can. And, you know, again, going back to climate change, I don't think there's anybody who thinks we don't need to work together to improve our environment. I mean, that is a listen, I was at the an evening for the environment issues dinner and reception last night, and we honored a Republican with an award named for a Republican. So this is an issue that everybody agrees on. And let's find places that we can work together, not places where we need to create divisiveness. And there's so much potential for us all to work together to improve Maine's environment and our renewable energy portfolio.
Marty, we also have a Facebook post for Douglas about Kavanaugh. So can I say that you will not say on the air, yes, I believe Dr. Ford, or no, I do not believe her? That's not a question you want to answer directly?
I mean, I'm not privy to everything that, and I have to say I've been campaigning hard, but I do. I mean, I think that she's been, very strong, and, she's been, somebody who has taken a difficult, has had to work hard. I'm sure this whole thing hasn't been easy, and it's been very intense for everybody involved. But I'm not entirely close to understanding everything that's gone on, but certainly it's been an intense couple of weeks, I got to tell you.
Yeah, and the second direct question, do you believe humans have either directly caused or partially caused climate change?
You know, look, I work professionally in sustainability for many years, doing work like life cycle analysis and carbon footprint and things like that. And, you know, like many of us, you see when the kids are dropped off at school in the morning and everybody's sitting there in their cars idling during that time, right? And one of the things you do as working in sustainability professionally is you take a block of the environment and you try to model it. Now, if we put a dome over that school right there with all of those cars idling, would we say, that's an intense amount of exhaust in one spot, and that would be bad, right? So, I mean, I think clearly that's an instance where humans are affecting the environment. And, any instance like that we need to work on. But when I think when you push hard and you say, do you believe in climate change, what you're really doing is trying to create a partisan division. And what I feel is we don't need to create any more of those partisan divisions. If we want to improve the environment, then let's work together on things we agree on. Let's create more renewable energy opportunities. Let's reduce the amount of exhaust coming out of those cars.
We'll go to Bill, who's calling from Biddeford. There we go. Hi, Bill. Go ahead.
If elected, would you caucus with the majority party, regardless of which one it is, or would you always caucus with a specific party, and if a specific party, which one?
Yeah, thanks, Bill. Thanks for that question. And I understand why you need to ask it, but I think the fact that you do ask it, it just gives us an idea of where we've gotten to, right? I mean, where does it say in the Constitution that it's Republicans and Democrats? George Washington was an independent, and it's time that we had more independent voices representing us down in Washington so that we can get things working again.
All right, we're going to go to another voicemail question.
My name is Andrea, and I'm in Yarmouth, and my question is for Marty Grohman. Marty, if elected, what will you do to bring down the cost of prescription drugs? Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Andrea. You know, I think Senator Collins has just moved through some excellent new legislation that I think is really important to allow generics in the Maine legislature, and it's an issue that I've worked on extensively as well. In fact, my entree into politics was related to this issue as my sort of mentor and predecessor in the Maine legislature worked extensively on this issue. I mean, I think the first thing that I'll do is get people working together again. I mean, there are so many things that we can do to work together to reduce the cost of prescription drugs and the way they're procured by our government systems. And, you know, why don't we focus on the areas where we agree rather than where we disagree?
An email from John. We have an historic first federal election with ranked choice voting. How are you using RCV? And will you be indicating which other candidate should be the second preference of your supporters?
Yeah, thank you for that question. I mean, I think ranked choice voting is such an immense opportunity for the people of Maine. You know, we have this historic electoral reform that really gives people more voice. And now you don't need to say, you know, hey, Marty, I would vote for you, but I'm really concerned that the Republican would win if I did. Or, hey, Marty, I would vote for you, but I'm really concerned that the Democrat would win if I did. Instead, we vote for the independent. And I won't be suggesting to people who else they vote for. I hope they will choose me. I really think that we can't keep doing the same thing over and over and expect to get a different result. It's just time to end this partisanship in Washington. And in order to do so, we can't send more partisans down there. It's really that simple. And ranked choice really makes that possible. And I'm well on my way to winning this thing. And I have to tell you, it's really exciting.
Well, Marty, thanks so much for joining us today. Marty Grohman, independent candidate for Maine's first congressional district. John Keimel ran the board today. You can find all of our Your Vote 2018 interviews, as well as much more information on the candidates and their positions on the Maine Public website. Today's program will be rebroadcast this evening at 8. I'm Jennifer Rooks, and you've been listening to Maine Calling on Maine Public Radio.